every camp, well, many camps, I should say, have a rub. Many camps have a rub that they really look to for guidance. Our camp is privileged to have an exceptionally special rub here at Camp Sukkah. Rabbi Schechter, Mrs. Schechter, came to us 3 years ago, I believe, but Mrs. Schechter was a division head here many, many years ago. And Rabbi Schechter worked with me as a division head and really, really knew the dynamics of Camp Sukkah and Camp Sukkah Special. When Rabbi and Mrs. Schechter came to Camp Sukkah as the Rebbe and the Rebbetzin of the camp, they really came in knowing the population, to watch them with the campers and to watch them with the staff members is really something to be admired. It's really something to see and learn from. And I will tell you firsthandedly that seeing Rabbi Schechter go into the hospitals and go into families and go into homes and help in more ways than any Rebbe is ever asked to give support and to give warmth and to give care, is something that I was awed by from the first time that I met them and the first time that I saw it. And over the years, I've really seen Rabbi and Mrs. Schechter more and more become involved in the High Life My Family in the most proactive way possible. In a way that we should all be coming in and saying, how can I make a difference? Rabbi Schechter walked into Camp Sukkah and he said, I'm going to make a difference. In every aspect of Torah life of this camp, Rabbi Schechter has added tremendously. And it is my honor and privilege to introduce Rabbi Schechter. And we are so lucky to have their beautiful children here with us, all the Schechter boys. Here in Camp Sukkah, because they add a lot, and you're going to get to meet them over the summer. As we said that. Right.
So welcome, everybody. I know you've had a very long day. Had a lot of discussion about the orientation. For High Life on for Camp Sukkah, for those who are here for the first time, I'm sure it's overwhelming. And I hope what I'm going to speak about is something that should be meaningful. It's not instruction. It's just some suggestions to consider over the next couple of weeks while you're here. You know, it's very easy. This is an experience that I believe is one that is laden with opportunity for personal growth. And I really firmly believe that unless somebody points it out to us and makes us look with our eyes open over the next 2 weeks to understand what it is that these 2 weeks can and should mean to us, it's very easy to go through the entire experience and miss it all. So I really just want to focus on three different points and just call your attention to these three aspects. Obviously, there's a lot more, but three different things that we can all consider over the next 2 weeks while we are here. So number one, if you would ask somebody, what is the core, what is the essence or the foundation of all of the Torah as we know it? I think people would have a very difficult time answering that question. What is the essence of Kala Torah Kula? We have so many different mitzvos that push us in so many different directions, that demand so many different things of us. What do we mean when we say that we can really define the essence of what Torah is all about? So the Gemara Masechta Sota answers the question, and the Gemara writes that if you want to know what the foundation of Torah is, you look at the beginning and you look at the end. And writes the Gemara in Sota Daf Yudalid, Torah Tchilas HaGemilas Chasadim V'Sofa Gemilas Chasadim. The entirety of Torah begins with the tremendous chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in creating Adam HaRishon, in providing for Adam HaRishon, in doing everything that was necessary to have the world that we all experience and enjoy today. That is the beginning of Torah, and the Gemara says that at the end, it is Sofa Gemilas Chasadim as well. The end of Torah also gives us a perspective of the great chesed of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that, writes the Gemara, really is the essence of Kol HaTorah Kula. Now we all are going to experience various variations of chesed throughout life. We have so many experiences to have opportunities for chesed. But generally, when we are involved in chesed, there's a sense of a symbiotic relationship. There's a reciprocity. There's an understanding that I will do for someone, and at some point they will do for me. And that's really the way most relationships in life work. And what is extremely unique and unusual about being here in Camp Simcha for 2 weeks is that I firmly believe it is a chesed shel emes. A chesed shel emes means when you do something for another person that is so full of compassion, when you are involved in acts of complete altruistic acts, where you expect nothing in return, where your camper perhaps not only will not give you love back in return, but sometimes will be angry at you for certain things that you've done only for their good. And I've seen over the last 3 years that has happened many times. And it's frustrating for counselors, it's frustrating for staff members when the campers don't appreciate how much we invest and how exhausted we are and how much we do for them. I remember last year there was a camper who was on a very restricted diet and had a very difficult time with their counselor, who was holding them back from certain foods that they absolutely were not allowed to eat, and was getting very upset about the fact that the counselor was withholding food. Now, obviously, we fed this camper and gave her whatever possibly that she could eat, but this is something that becomes very difficult when we are working hard to show love and to show compassion and to show our caring and investing so much time and really running on no sleep, and yet not only do we get nothing in return, but sometimes we even get a negative response in return. That is referred to in Chazal as a chesed shel emes, which is the highest level of chesed. You do something because you are a open-hearted person, because you are compassionate, because you care enough about others. And not every staff member here will get recognition. Not every staff member will be acknowledged. Some of them might be more pronounced than others, and sometimes there's a feeling of jealousy or there's a feeling of being slighted. Why was I not singled out? Why was I not recognized? But that's what a chesed shel emes is all about. I can tell you, I felt this way the first time I came to Camp Simcha. It's very personal for me, and I usually don't talk very personally, but sometimes you have to. I did feel a lack of appreciation until I reminded myself what David HaMelech says in Tehillim. Achtova chesed yirdefuni kol yimei chayei. I davened every day since the first summer I was in Camp Simcha. I was staying up very late at nights talking to campers. Rivki said, it's not the definition of my job. I don't quite know what the definition of my job is, and that's fine. But I certainly don't think that it was expected of me that during the year I would spend sleepless nights with families in the hospital and actually being present when unfortunately some of the campers passed away. That certainly was not something I ever signed up for. However, what I took upon myself that first year was, when you ask yourself, which position would you prefer to be in? As hard and difficult as it is, and I'm a rabbi of a shul that is a tremendous shul and has tremendous needs, and people come all the time, and it's difficult and it's challenging, and sometimes you ask yourself, how much longer can I do this? And I'm only 33. But sometimes it is very difficult, and you ask yourself, am I really going to put up with this? Am I really going to always be the filter for people to come and unload and talk about different things? And the answer is, if you just look at the overall perspective of life and you ask yourself, would I prefer that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts me in a position where He allows me to help others? Or do I prefer to be in a position where I'm going to need the help of others? As difficult and sometimes thankless as it is to be in the position of helping others, you ask yourself, and I daven for this every single day, Achtov HaChesed Yerdefuni Kol Yemei Chayei, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should always put us in a position where we are able to help others, where we have the strength and the wisdom to help other people and do whatever it is that can be of support to them, instead of ever chalila needing the help of others in our community to be there for us. So just to put that in perspective, think about that while you're here. That although sometimes it will be difficult and sometimes it is challenging, think about the incredible gift that you've been given, that the Ribono Shel Olam put you in a position where you can provide for others and you do not need others to provide for you. Mrs. Kaufman mentioned to me this afternoon when we got here that she has a plan to talk about one of the brachos of Shmona Esrei every day. I just want to compliment that incredible I don't know. For those who haven't been here before, I don't know how much you understand that the fact that tefillah is now implemented as part of the schedule in camp is so central and is so important, and we really have to all thank Mrs. Kaufman for making this a part of our schedule, because it needs to be a part of our schedule. But on top of that, the fact that she is trying to infuse meaning into the davening as well is so critical and so important. So she mentioned to me that she spoke about the first bracha of Shemona Esrei today. And let me just add on to what she said. I unfortunately was not here this morning. I don't know that I'll be here most of the mornings. We have our own minyan in the other room. But I do just want to add on to the bracha that she spoke about. Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, one of the greatest gedolim in the last few hundred years, has an amazing comment. And he says, every day in Shemona Esrei, we start with the first bracha. And we end off by saying, Magen Avram, which means we ask that HaKadosh Baruch Hu look after us. We ask that HaKadosh Baruch Hu guard us, the same way he was there for Avram Avinu. Says Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz, how dare a person stand up and ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save them and to be there for them, to be the shield, like he was for Avraham Avinu, if we don't live lives like Avraham Avinu? The only right that you have to demand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to save you and to look out for you in life is if you are going to live a life in this kind of context that Avraham Avinu lived, the Ish HaChesed, then you have a right in return to ask the Ribono Shel Olam, Magen Avraham. I want to have that relationship that you had with Avraham Avinu, but it's only if you embody what Avraham Avinu stood for. This is an opportunity that we all have in these 2 weeks to consider how lucky we are to be the Balei Chesed, to be involved in Chesed Shel Emes. It's a tremendous privilege, and it can go unnoticed. Understand this might be one of the only times in your life when you're involved in an absolute, thankless Chesed Shel Emes. If you are thanked, lucky you. If you are not thanked, even luckier. You're even luckier. And you have every right to demand of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Magen Avram, after all that I've done, after all that I've invested, after all the nights of sleep that I didn't have, after all the things that I could have done this summer and chose not to do, and I also could have chosen to do many things in these 2 weeks. I don't get a lot of time off from my shul. I don't get paid from this camp. I don't want to be paid from this camp. I don't want to take money for doing chesed. And none of those in this room get paid either. It's an incredible opportunity to appreciate the gift of giving just for the sake of giving, and to ask the Ribono Shel Olam in response that he do so much for us because we do for his children and we do for his people. That's point number one. Point number two that I think is worthy of consideration is there's a famous Mashal HaYerushalmi, and that is that there was a grandfather sitting on the Seder night with his grandson, and he's telling him all about the amazing story of Kriyas Yamsuf and Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, and the grandson is so overwhelmed, he's so amazed by it. But he finally turns to his grandfather and he says, you know, it is an amazing story, but I'm just curious. Didn't HaKadosh Baruch Hu also create the Yam Suf? So why is it so great that he split it? After all, he created it in the first place. So explain the grandfather as follows. And this is known as a Mashal HaYerushalmi. It means in Yerushalayim they say such a Mashal. And that is, he said that there was a highly gifted sculptor who once spent months and months trying to create a beautiful horse. And after he finished making this beautiful piece of art, he asked his family, how do you think that I can get the highest bidder on this beautiful piece of art? Everybody was discussing it, and somebody finally came up with the idea, you know, maybe tomorrow morning you should go to the very busy street in the town. Let's say, for argument's sake, for those who are from New York or familiar with it, you're going to go down to Wall Street, down to Times Square. You're going to leave it right there in the center of the street. And then when everybody starts coming off the train to go to work, they're going to notice it, and they're going to see how beautiful it is. And one person is going to say to the other, well, who made this and how much does it cost? And then they're going to hike up the prices, and that's the way you're going to get the highest bid. So he does that. He goes early in the morning, and he waits until everybody comes off the train, and he sees not a single person stops to look at this, and he can't believe it. But he says maybe everybody's just busy. They're thinking about all the meetings they have that day, all the things they have to take care of, all the different money they have to make, all the different places they have to travel. Let me wait till lunchtime. And he sees again, it comes lunch hour, to no avail. Nobody pays attention. Nobody stops to look at it. It comes dinner time, same thing. And he comes home that night, he's so defeated, he's so distraught, he can't believe it. Obviously, he's not a good artist, because throughout the entire duration of a day, not one person bothered to stop and look at this beautiful piece of art, no less ask about it. Nobody even looked at it. And his wife turns to him and she says, no. It's not a deficiency in your art. That's not what's wrong here. The problem here is that you are such a perfectionist, you're such a good artist, that it looks like a real horse. So there's nothing to look at. Why should I pay attention? I've seen many horses in my life. So he says, what should I do? The next piece of art I make should be missing something? Well then, that really wouldn't be the mark of a good artist. So they tell him, take this horse and split it in half. And when you split it in half, you should put one half of the horse on one side of the avenue and the other on the other side. And perhaps that is the way that people will finally notice, because it looks real, but it can't be real. If it's real, it can't be split in half. And if it's fake, how can it be so nice? How can it be so perfect? That is what Kriyas Yamsa was all about. Is it true that we should all appreciate the world as it is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world, that He gave us the Yamsa? Yes, that's an amazing fact. That's an amazing part of life, but unfortunately, most of us don't think that way. And every once in a while, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to come and break the Yamsa to make us feel and appreciate how great it was all along. You're going to have the unfortunate privilege this summer of looking at many, many, many broken lives. Many campers who have so much tragedy, who are dealing with so much, who are so sick, and who have such a tremendous burden on their shoulders. And obviously, Nistarim Darkei Hashem, it is impossible to understand why this happens. And innocent children, we certainly cannot understand. Children who aren't even of the age to be accountable for what they may have possibly done, it's impossible for us to ever fathom or understand why the Ribbono Shel Olam can do this to anybody, let alone children. It's painful sometimes, and it's sad, and you'll cry. Sometimes. It's a happy place. But every once in a while, you do need to think about what it is that these children are going through. But use it as an opportunity to also think about the fact, like the Navi Yeshaya writes, Su'u marom einechem uru'u mi bara ele. Look around at the world and see how blessed we are to have the lives that we do. Use it as an opportunity to appreciate the incredible gift of life and health that all of us have. So yes, do people have challenges? Of course they do. And there are different varying degrees of challenges that people have throughout life. But use this as an opportunity to look at the Kriyas Yamsuf, to look at the unfortunate lives that other people sometimes live, and think about that in the perspective of your own life. Think about how gifted you are, how lucky you are, that the Ribbono Shel Olam has blessed you to have a healthy and productive life where you do not need to come onto others to be helpful to you in living the day-to-day life that we all experience. And this really is what David HaMelech says as well. We say it in Psukei Dezimra every day. Kol haneshama tehalelka haleluka. What does it mean? Every neshama will praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Gemara. Means, al kol neshima u'neshima. It means we owe the Ribbono Shel Olam a tremendous debt of gratitude for every breath. When you'll see children who struggle to take a breath, when you see children who unfortunately have to be hooked up to all kinds of machines and are not able to do that on their own, you fully understand why we need to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Al kol neshima u'neshima, for every breath that we are so privileged to take, for every moment of life that we are so lucky to live, with the health that we are blessed with all the gifts that we've been given, with all of the talents that we have, and with all of the opportunity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts into our lives. That's perspective number two, just for your consideration over the next 2 weeks. And number three, and I know it will sound heavy, but I think it's important to mention. What is our perspective on Bala Yisurim? I don't know how many people in the room have encountered those who suffer on a very intimate basis, on a very close level. But these next 2 weeks you will. And the question you have to ask yourself is, how do we look at that? What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu see in these individuals? So there's an amazingly powerful Medrash. And the Medrash writes the following. And listen carefully, because I think it sounds very similar, but the Netziv, one of the great Gedolim in the 1800s, points out that this really is not the same. The Medrash gives three different interpretations into what it means Hashem Tzadik Yivchan. There's a pasuk in Tehillim where we're told that the Ribbono Shel Olam tests those who are righteous, those who are tzaddikim. Writes the Medrash, how is that to be understood? Three different mishalim, three different ways to understand it. All of them sound very similar, but they are very different. Number one. Amar Rabbi Yonasan Ayotzer Hazeh. You have an artisan, you have a craftsman. Eino bode kankane meruayim. Let's say he makes all kinds of pots and pans. And now, it's not like today where we take out an ad in the newspaper or we have a way of advertising. The way it used to work then was you had to walk around the streets with whatever it is that you created and you had to sell your product. So he goes out into the street and he tries to get everyone's attention. So how's he going to get their attention? He has to take his pots, bring them outside, and show everybody what he's created. Well, says the Medrash, which pot is he going to choose to bring outside? He has to go outside with a pot and a spoon and bang on it in the middle of the street so everybody will notice. Everybody will come into the store. Well, which pot will he choose? Says the Medrash. Eino bodek bekankanim uruayim. He's not going to take those vessels that are delicate, that are fragile, because he's going to take one, bang on it, and it will break. It's going to be the end of it. So he chooses to take the stronger ones. The ones that he can bang on it so many times and nothing will happen. That, says the Medrash, is number one, what we mean when we say Hashem Tzadik Yivchan, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tests those who are righteous. Number two, says the Medrash, when you have somebody who is a pishtani, somebody who works with flax, correct, and b'shoshu yodeh sha pishtan shelo yafeh, when he knows that the flax is of very supreme quality, he will spend time combing it and making sure to bang it and hit it in order that he can purify it even more. But if it's of a low-grade quality anyway, it's not worth his time. Just leave it as it is, sell it for the cheap price. It's not worth the time to bang it and to comb it and to get whatever it is out of it. You don't need to purify it, because you're not going to make any money on it anyway. Says the Medrash, that is perspective number two on Hashem Tzadik Yivchan. And number three, writes the Medrash, is the following. Mashal Abal Habayis, you have a farmer, says the Medrash. Shahayalo Beis Paros, he has to do work on the field. And obviously he can't do it on his own, so he has two cows. And he's trying to figure out which one should he use to do all the work, to carry all the burden. And the Medrash writes, if he's going to take a weak cow, that is not stable, that is not strong, immediately when he puts the instruments on its back, the cow's back will break and it won't be able to do any work. So obviously he's going to take the cow that is strong. And that is the way he will get the work done that needs to be taken care of. Writes the Nitziv. This Medrash is very unusual because it gives three Mishalim that sound all to be very similar. But he writes, potentially these can be three very different ideas as to how it is that we look in the Hashkafa. How do we deal with people who suffer? With people who are being tested? I firmly believe that every child in this camp is being tested. I don't understand why. I don't understand why. And as we said, Nistarim Darkei Hashem. But there is a perspective here. Number one, says the Medrash, perhaps the first understanding is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes wants to show the world what His people are made of. The Ribbono Shel Olam sometimes needs to go out into the street and show everybody what Klal Yisrael really is. And who is he going to choose? That's the first mashal of the Medrash. That the Ribbono Shel Olam chooses the pots that are strong, that are heavy, that can take a hit and will not be broken. And the Ribbono Shel Olam wants to show that their spirit will be the same, that their emunah will be strong. And you will see how many kids, I cannot tell you, I just went away this morning, we left our community, and I can't tell you how many people came over to me in the last few days and said, are you going to Camp Simcha again? I said, yes. So they said, we can't wait for you to come back because we're so inspired by the stories of these children. Every summer when I've come back so far, the first Shabbos back, I give a long drasha about lessons that I've learned from the campers that I've spoken to. And yes, are they much younger than many of us? Of course they are. But their stories are so inspiring. And their perspectives are amazing. That, writes the Medrash, is number one. The first viewpoint that we can have about what it means to be tested. that the Ribono Shel Olam takes those that can handle it, and he gives them these nisyonos to show the world what it means to go through something difficult, to show the world that our spirit will never be broken. And I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also wants to show the world how special it is that we have caretakers who can take off 2 weeks that could have been doing many other things. I'm sure many of you could have gotten jobs and gone to college and taken care of many other things that would have been helpful to you in your careers or professions or whatever it is that you wanted to do. And the Ribono Shel Olam wants to show the world what we are made of. This is what we're made of. We are made up of people who selflessly give and who care for others who need our help and who need our attention. That's what the Ribono Shel Olam, number one, says the Medrash, wants to go out to the world and show. Number two, HaKadosh Baruch Hu sees that there are some people who have a very fine quality, and he just wants to perfect them a little bit more, because it's worth it. It's worth the investment. And for those perhaps who, if we can say such a thing, are of a lower grade, it's not worth his time, Kaviyah. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to take those who have such a fine quality in the lives that they live. They are going to be the ones who are tested by the Ribono Shel Olam. And number three, says the Medrash, and I think this is most powerful. The Medrash tells us that somebody has to carry the burden of the entire generation. Somebody needs to carry the burden of our generation. I think if you look at your campers with that perspective, and you understand that they are carrying the burden of our generation, and because of what they live with, we have the gift of so much bracha in our lives because they're carrying it for all of us, I think your perspective will be very different as you take care of it. I think you'll understand that it's a privilege. It's a tremendous privilege to care and to provide comfort and assistance and aid and an ear and love and encouragement and everything else that we can possibly give to these great tzaddikim and tzidkaniyos that we will meet over the next few weeks. These are the people that the Ribono Shel Olam chose to carry the burden of our generation. Somebody needs to do it. Why it has to be them, I have no idea. But the fact that it is them, and the fact that we are able to be in such close proximity and be the providers for these people is an incredible gift. It's an incredible bracha. And I ask you just to appreciate the opportunity that you have over these 2 weeks to think about these three considerations. Number one, think about the privilege that you have to be involved in an absolute chesed shel emes. Expect nothing in return. If you don't get the love that you wanted from either your fellow counselors, from the head staff, if you don't get the appreciation, or you don't get whatever it is that you imagine you were going to come out of this summer with, understand that it's worth it and that it's worthy because it's a chesed shel emes, number one. Number two, think about the fact that you are lucky not to need the assistance of others in your life. Think about the fact that you have a healthy life, that you are able to provide for others, that the Ribono Shel Olam gave you a life, and thank him, I'll call Neshima U Neshima, for every single aspect of the healthy life that you live. Think about how meaningful that is as you interact with those who unfortunately do not have that incredible gift. And number three, consider who it is that you're spending your time with in the next 2 weeks. Consider the fact that you're spending time with people who the Ribono Shel Olam has singled out for whatever reason to be the ones to carry the burden of our generation. And it's a privilege, and it's a great schus. And because of that, we've all come together here, and we all come selflessly, and we come to inspire each other and to be inspired from our campers and from all those that we interact with. Obviously, everything on this campus is delicate because we're dealing with a lot of serious illnesses, with a lot of children who have very serious complications. And we need to make sure that as religious Jews, that as Yirei Hashem, we do everything al pi taras hakodesh, that we do everything within the framework of halacha. Sometimes, unfortunately, that is overlooked, that is neglected by some people who are not sensitive enough to it. but it's important that we all sensitize ourselves to these issues and we understand that everything that we do here, when we're dealing with this kind of caliber of camper that is coming to us, we need to make sure to do it the way the Ribono Shel Olam wants us to do it. And just because we're dealing with campers who are sick doesn't mean that Shabbos is not Shabbos, doesn't mean that davening is not davening, it doesn't mean that midos are not midos. Everything needs to be up to the standard, everything needs to be the way the Shulchan Aruch and the way the Ribono Shel Olam himself expects us to do it. And because of that, we're going to have, as we do every summer, conversations about how best to deal with this. Now, it's not easy for those who are first-time interactions, and you've never dealt with a sick child on Shabbos. It's not so easy. And sometimes, are you going to be expected to pick up a phone on Shabbos? As uncomfortable as that is, you might have to do that. We'll talk more later in the week. Mrs. Kaufman is going to arrange a schedule as she already has, way in advance. I'm way behind the eight ball here. But she's very organized, and it's important that we really sensitize ourselves to these issues and we understand that there are times when we need to do things that otherwise on Shabbos would make us extremely uncomfortable, but under the circumstances, this might be the way we need to react. This is the way that we need to respond. On the other hand, there are some things that are totally unacceptable on Shabbos. And just because we're dealing with somebody who is sick, or who is undergoing treatment, or perhaps in remission, it does not give us a heter to do whatever we want. There are guidelines, and we need to think about it. So I encourage you, I think Thursday night or Friday, we're going to have some kind of sensitivity training about Shabbos. I encourage you, in the next few days, as you get to know your campers a little bit better, and you understand the needs that they might have, try to come prepared on Thursday evening with the kinds of questions that you can imagine will come up. Obviously, we're going to present from years past things that have come up and things that we've dealt with before, but every year there seems to be a new wrinkle. Every year there seems to be a new difficult shiloh that we need to think about and we need to discuss, and you should all feel comfortable discussing all of them openly because they need to be spoken about, they need to be thought about, they need very careful consideration, and we need to make sure that we do everything the way it is supposed to be done, al pi halacha. So with that in mind, I wish all of you a most meaningful 2 weeks here. For those who are first-timers, you're in for an amazing experience. For those who are back for multiple summers, you know already what this is. I consider this a great privilege. It's a privilege to be here together with all of you. It's a privilege to serve the children of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's a privilege that the Ribono Shel Olam has chosen all of us to be on the giving end, to be mechazik others, to give strength and support and comfort to those who need it, and understand how blessed and lucky you are to be in that category. Daven for the rest of your lives. Ach tov, l'chesed yudifuni kol yimei chaya. You should always be on that end of the spectrum. You should always be that person that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chooses out to be the giver, and never chalila need the taking from others. I wish all of you a meaningful summer. We're here, we're available for anything that may come up. And I hope you enjoy your opportunity and experience here over the next 2 weeks. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Rabbi Schechter. You amaze me how you feel.